then it is my privilege to share with you a little bit about the friend of mine that is here to share with us today. I told you a little bit about her 2 weeks ago. Her name is Mindy Lockard, and she's standing over here, and she'll come up in a minute. But Mindy, I'm going to just read what I prepared, because I want you to know a little bit about her, things that she might not share about herself. So she's an internationally recognized etiquette and leadership expert. She's worked, after working for about a decade with emerging professionals and college students, she identified a need amongst the next generation for interpersonal skills and confidence. And so in an effort to be proactive, she created these two programs for teens. She established something called G3. It's the Gracious Girls Guide. It's a leadership program for tween and teen girls, which actually my girls are participating in this year. They focus on equipping girls with their moms with key social skills and habits to help live like brave, confident young women. Also, the Leadership Academy is a program for middle school boys that focuses on cultivating lifelong social and leadership skills. So for more than a decade, she's facilitated interpersonal workshops for college athletes. She has some great stories about working with college athletes, alumni, government agencies, corporations, and professional organizations, and youth of all ages. She's a regular contributor on KATU Afternoon Live, Fox 12, King 5 in Seattle, publications. She's been around and learned a lot and has a lot of, and can bring a lot of experience to us today. So today she's going to talk about momfidence. Remember I shared that cutting edge, new emerging thing that you're hearing it here today for the first time, actually. So you should mark this date on your calendar. So without much further, I would love to invite Mindy up. This is Mindy.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun. When we first moved to Lake Oswego, I think 8 years ago, I spoke to Sprouts in this very room, one of my first things that I did when we moved to Portland from Eugene. So it's fun to kind of be back in this room. I love this room. It's a really great place to be. So thank you so much for having me. Thank you for that introduction, Jamie. To tell you a little bit about myself personally, I have been married for 21 years. I have two daughters. I have a 15-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old daughter who's home today and is going to be texting me probably all morning, so I'm going to turn off my sound. She's fine. Because you can leave your kids at home when they're 12 and they can survive. So, yeah, I know. You're like, that's going to be amazing. Tell me, what is that like? It's good, but it's hard at the same time. Like, it's being a mom is a big deal. It's a really big job. And as someone that is living it with two teenage daughters, it's not all scary, I'll tell you that. I have amazing girls. We're in it, for sure. We're dealing with a lot, but they're amazing. And also, too, all of the work that I've done with professionals, men and women, I like to do what I call working backwards. So looking at and researching and really getting into kind of where we are culturally, where we are as a society, how we're doing and how we're emerging as humans in that pre-professional, professional world. And seeing the deficits of behavior and lack of confidence and increased anxiety that we're constantly seeing in our society, and thinking, how can we work backwards? Because our children are going to be the ones that are going to be emerging into this. And if we don't pay attention and we're not proactive in this, it's not all scary, but it's going to require some hard work. I mean, motherhood is the hardest work that we do. It's hard not only because it's taxing on us physically, but it's taxing emotionally. There's so much worry and concern and care that goes into how we raise humans, and that's our job. They're gifts to us. So I have a weekly Facebook video series that I do for my G3 moms that is actually called Momfidence Monday, so you can follow along on that. As it's a super cheesy word, but it's true. Like, we if we are not confident in who we are as moms, if we are not confident in what our values are for our family and what we believe to be true for what we want for our kids, and we continue to be confused by outside influences, our children are going to be confused. And so we have so much bombarding us on a daily basis, especially through the beauty of our devices that keep us moving and overwhelmed. So I just want to explore some of that today. I'm going to share some of my research. I'd like for you guys to kind of get together and talk about this. Motherhood is a journey. It is not a destination. The ages and stages where you are with your kids, it will end. It will end. And your kids are gonna grow up. So let's get started. So the first thing that I would love to have you do as a table is I would love for you to explore, what does a confident mom look like? What does she look like? If you're on the outside watching a confident mom, what does she look like? So let's just take a few minutes to kind of explore that as a table. Okay, so for the sake of time, let's talk about this. What are some things that your table came up with in terms of what a confident mom looks like? What does she look like? Just tell me words. Raise your hand. Be brave.
Oh, I just said unapologetic.
Yes.
I think when you see her, she's intentional about her program and values with her children, and she's handling it in a calm way, and she's unapologetic about what's going on. I think to me, that's a mom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other thoughts on what a confident mom looks like? Yes.
We kind of discussed a similar thing. We didn't think it's mostly about like what you look like physically. Like a confident mom can still look a mess, but it's how she carries herself, her posture, and her reaction to the situation.
Yeah.
So her kid may be having like a tantrum for an hour, but she's calm and confident in what her reaction to the kid is.
Yeah. Other thoughts? Yes. Not all about themselves. Yeah, I love that because when I do work, especially when we work with high school and junior high boys, we talk about the difference in confidence and arrogance. And when you show up in a space and you're confident, you're able to kind of get over yourself for the sake of other people. It's when we're insecure and arrogance creeps in, and either we have to tell people how amazing we are over and over and over, or we're jerks. So that's kind of the difference. So that's, I love that. Okay, so now kind of taking the visual of it, I think we can all identify what she looks like. But now I want to dig just a little bit deeper and talk about what she's feeling like. Because this is where the confusion comes in sometimes, and especially in my work with raising girls to be brave, we all have a vision of what it looks like, but the internal turmoil and the ability to refrain or control or experience or be insecure or all of those things are things that we experience on the inside. And when we're feeling that, we cannot feel confident sometimes. And so let's explore as a group, what does she feel like? What are the things that she's battling inside of that calm demeanor?
Okay, so
let's just throw out some words here. What does a confident mom feel like? What are those feelings that a confident mom has?
Safe.
Safe? What are other feelings that she has? Absolutely. I think questioning, thinking, being unsure, all of those. Yeah, absolutely. Other things that we think a confident mom.
She's looking at the end goal instead of trying to be reactive.
Yeah, exactly. She's thinking long term, processing these things long term. Other thoughts?
Sometimes she's
in a way of, even when her kids are using it, it's not reflecting her identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She can be struggling, but it's not so defining her.
Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting. I asked my 15-year-old daughter was homesick for the last 2 days, which I always love when she's home and we get to spend time together. And I said to her, she asked me what I was working on, and I said I was working on this. And I said, "Do you think I'm a confident mom, Elle?" And she goes, "Oh, you're too confident." I was like, okay, well, that's good. Then I guess I should be talking about this. And the first thing I want to say is, let's not confuse confident and perfect. Because oftentimes, our idea of a confident female is a perfect female. I am not a perfect female. And I'm willing to not be perfect for the sake of training my kids. I'm willing for us to look messy. To other people, I'm willing to look messy for other people. I don't always react the way that I should react, but I react for the sake of the long term. In fact, funny that it may be, is I dropped my 12-year-old daughter off at the junior high yesterday, and she is a spirited, strong-willed, beautiful creature. But she was being very rude to me yesterday. So if you had seen me driving down Country Club yesterday, I probably was not keeping it together, but we were to a point that she needed to hear from me, and we weren't gonna wait till she got home from school because we kind of forget these things and the feeling, and I'm not gonna have her be rude to me. It's just not okay. She needs to understand her boundaries and that she's 12. And then I'm in my 40s. So we get to the junior high, and she's heard from me, and she's heard from me about her talking back and about her being rude. And she said, "I don't think you realize the impact that this is going to have on my day." And I said, "I don't know if you realize the impact this is going to have on my day. This is both ways, Mags. This goes both ways." And I said, "And what I need you to do is really think about how you talk back to me." And as she's closing the door to the car, she goes, "I don't talk back." So I rolled down the window as she's walking into the junior high, and I said, "Goodbye, Maggie, that's what I'm talking about. That's talking back to your mom right there." She's like, "Oh my gosh, what are you doing?" I'm like, "That's it, you're talking back to me right there, Mags. Have a good day, goodbye." Now, the people in the car lane behind us probably thought that that was being messy, and I don't care. I don't care, because we need to nip this for she and I. And then she sent me a long text about how embarrassed she was, and I said, "When you stop talking back to me, we're not going to have anything that we need to be embarrassed about," with a heart and a kissy face. And then I got a thumbs up, and we were fine. So that's the thing that I want to remind us about, is that this is not going to look perfect. Your fear of what other people think is not going to look perfect, but it's the investment that we have in the process, the long-term process, and what we're willing to do to make that happen. So when we do the research for girls, these are the things that we look at for boys and girls, that our teenagers are experiencing the highest level of anxiety the generations have experienced. I don't think it's actually the fact that they're more anxious than past generations, but I don't think that they know how to handle it, because they've been very coddled, because we're afraid of looking imperfect. And so when our kids experience feelings, we tend to shut it down. They are so afraid of failure because we live in a society that's perfect. Their birthday parties are perfect. They look perfect in family photos. I mean, the Christmas card photo, let's talk about it. If we really took the photo of what it looks like to take a Christmas card, but we send it to everyone we know and we look like we're perfect, our kids, it's seeping into our kids. They are so afraid of failing, and it's leading into that struggle of anxiety. I mean, we are seeing the highest the highest amount of teen suicides and young adult suicides in the history of time. Their struggle with resiliency, so the ability to say, I've messed up, and that's okay, and this is how I'm going to respond to that. There's a trend among young women called ghosting, which is the moment that they don't feel like they've done something well, they just disappear. And I've had interns that have done it. I've had an intern actually take years of research because they've been helping me with it, and they won't call me back. I mean, these are women in business, smart, confident seniors in college, and they can't handle saying, I was wrong. How do I get past this? Even when I've told them, this is okay. And the lack of accountability, saying I'm sorry, owning when we've made a mistake. But the one thing that I know true in my research when I talk to college students and we're working backwards is, if you could tell your mom one thing from your teenage years, what would you tell her? And when I started the research, I thought I was going to hear, I wish she understood me more. I wish she knew that I was an independent person. I wish that she got that how hard my life was. Because you'll hear that. You'll hear that. You don't understand how hard my life is. My life is so hard. And it is hard, but it's always been hard. So the one thing that they say is, I want to tell my mom thanks. I want to tell her thank you for hanging in with me. I want to tell her thank you for doing the hard stuff. I want to tell her thank you for making me go to practice when I didn't want to go. I want to tell her thank you for making me study when I didn't want to study. That resiliency that the mother has, and fathers too, but primarily I hear it about our moms, is thank you for doing the hard. So as you're in there, and as you're doing hard, and as you're tempted to not call your child or look messy or be messy, that's the hard, and our kids appreciate us for it. They become stronger, more resilient, more confident humans when we're confident in who we are. So as we talk about, when I work with girls, we work on three main topics, and because we're women, these are not just characteristics associated with girls, it's really characteristics associated with our gender. There's a couple things I want you to do. Now, this is an exercise. I have a planner for girls starting at age 8, and this is the first exercise in the planner, but I'd like for you to grab these sheets. I think the leaders at the table have them. And in thinking about women in your life, moms in your life who are brave, when we talk about confidence, bravery is the first key to confidence, because bravery is the willingness to do what's hard, to put ourselves out there, to be uncomfortable, to do what we need to do. So one of the best ways to be able to connect is to visualize who's a brave woman. So what I'd love for you to do in your life is maybe just fill out a couple of these. You can take this home and really work through it if you like, but go through and just really think about who in your life, moms or women, that you feel like are brave, and what examples of what they've done to be brave. So who is willing to share? Who is a woman, either a world influence, dead or alive, someone in your life, you, why are you brave? Let's just share a little bit. Yes.
My mom went back to work when I was in junior high after homeschooling me for a month. And I went back to school. And she started her own financial advisor business, and over the course of 14 years grew it into a huge business. And most recently retired because her mom is dying of cancer. So she retired early to take care of her.
Yeah. That's amazing. She sounds incredible.
My oldest daughter runs cross country for Tiger High School, and they had their last race yesterday for districts. And one of her teammates, I'm not going to say her name, but she has like a super strong finish at the end of the race. She literally, in the race, pooped her pants yesterday.
Wow. Yeah. To get it done.
First stop, yeah. Finished the race, and then she told all her friends.
Yeah. So that's literally the definition of being willing to get messy for the sake of something. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And she just like
she's
pooped, told her friend.
Yeah. Which is amazing. It really is. And as a society, we're like, she pooped her pants. But I mean, that's what marathon, they do it all the time. Yeah. 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 And you know what's interesting about that is when we look at female collegiate athletes, the most successful women, statistically, 89% of C-suite female executives have been a collegiate female athlete because of that. Because they are so familiar with the mess and the criticism and making mistakes, big mistakes in front of other people, vomiting. I mean, all sorts of bodily functions happen when we talk about athletics, but they put the goal ahead and they are the most resilient of women and girls. So I love that story because that's a perfect, I think as a visual person, I can see it. Uh-huh. Other, yes.
So for the world influencer, I thought of Billie Jean King, just because of how she broke through the glass ceiling of persisting through all of these men that told her she couldn't do it, and she was such a phenomenal athlete, and just what she stood for, and I just really admire her bravery in a world that wasn't accepting of who she was and how she persisted. And any woman that's willing to push that glass ceiling is just really brave in my book.
Absolutely. And that's the key when we think about bravery as moms. Before we can be confident, we really have to be brave. And when we look at female world influencers or girls in our life that are doing things that are messy, they're not doing it perfectly. They're making mistakes, but they're pushing against the resistance. And when we talk about being a brave mom, the resistance oftentimes is what happens in here. It's how we talk to ourselves. It's how we see ourselves. It's when we're scrolling through Instagram and the things that we tell ourselves about other people. It's the jealousy. And a lot of times, it's not men who are necessarily holding women back, but it's women who are holding each other back. And we have a really hard time separating ourselves, whether it's celebrating other women, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, or being able to celebrate ourselves and just being confident through it. So now let's go to confidence, because this is kind of a recipe. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about who, and this is an exercise that I have the girls go through, who you were created to be. What are the things about you as a human, as a woman, as a mom that makes you special and unique and your kids lucky to have you in their lives? What is that about you? And if if there isn't one of these words on your sheet and something that you feel like, this is just an idea to get the conversation started, especially for 10 and 13-year-old girls that will say whatever the person next to them said. So funny. I'm exactly who she is. So we have to give them things and be like, actually, that's not funny. You're just not wanting to, you can't identify, self-identify. So I will literally go through 8 girls and be like, what she said. It's what she said. So pick other words if there's other words here that you don't feel like are on the list, but definitely. And then I want you to write what your superpowers are there, and then an example of how you live that out. So, and you can take these home and work through this later if you'd like to. So the combination of when we really think about what it means to live true to ourselves, appreciating ourselves, we have to really kind of identify this in ourselves before our kids are going to buy it. And they need to see us, if they are going to believe in themselves, if they're going to learn to be brave, they need to see you being brave. If they're going to learn to love themselves for who they were created to be, the uniqueness and the beautifulness of who they are, they have to see that you love you for who you are. And we know all of those things, but it's really the ability to be authentic, which is the actual action that goes into place when we're being brave, and we're connecting to our gifts, and we're leaning into the gifts that we have, and we're not comparing ourselves to others, but we're living in the space that we were created to be, Because we need all of us. We need all of us. We can learn from the differences, and we don't have to be the same. Another mom can make a decision for her life and her family, and just because she makes that for her life and her family, we don't have to make that for our life and our family. Other moms would not roll their window down and talk to their children as they're walking into the junior high. And that's fine. I hope that they don't judge me for that, because they choose not to do that. But we could probably learn from each other if there's another strategy that they find to be more effective. And I'm open to that. But it's that ability. So often we spend so much time comparing ourselves to other people and letting those messages in our head tell us that we're not enough, or why aren't we more like her, or how does she do it that way, that we don't actually lean into who we are and live out those skills that we have because we're not exercising them. We're just spending so much time on Instagram feeling bad about ourselves. So this is an exercise for you to think through and take home, but what it is to reach out to three or four people, maybe five, that you know, and ask them how they would define you as a mom. What are the characteristics about you that make you special? And this is an exercise in bravery, but it really is a great way to identify and to hear things. When I have my teenage girls do it and they hear from people in their lives telling them who they are, it's crazy, because we live out our brand and our reputation and all of that all day long, and sometimes we don't even realize how other people see us, and hearing that is helpful. A, it helps us know, okay, is this in line with who I really feel like I am? Am I compromising who I am to be somebody else? Am I spending so much time and energy trying to be something else? Or are people really seeing me for who I am? And sometimes they see characteristics in us that we would love to have, but we wouldn't ever self-identify. So this is, ask your husband, ask your kids. You know, if it's fun to kind of hear this, ask your mom. So the next step in using these skills, first we have to feel brave and confident that we're willing to just be true to ourselves. Next, it's identifying who we are and who we were created to be and living it out. And as we live it out, I kind of broke it down into three ways. First of all, it's about love. Loving is, we have to love ourselves first. We have to care for ourselves. We have to give ourselves time. It's easy sometimes to let that guilt come in and not do those things, but and it goes in waves. Again, this is a journey and not a destination. There have been times of my life where I'm coming out of a season of absolute no love. I've been working so hard and done so much that I was just in kind of a sad personal space. Really great. My family's great. My work's great. But I wasn't spending the time that I needed on me. So I announced on Saturday that I'm taking time for myself. Love other moms. We really have to love other women. We are so hard on each other. We are so critical of each other. We are so unkind, and we make other people's lives about us. If they succeed, what's wrong with us that we didn't succeed? And our kids have to see this. There are so many changes for women going on in the world. In the 20, 30, 40-year-old space, there's very few changes going on in how girls treat girls, how boys treat girls at the junior high and high school level. It's systemic. It's like 1980s rolling out there. The language hasn't changed. The way they talk to each other hasn't changed. The way they talk about each other hasn't changed. And that change is going to have to start with us. How critical are we of other families? How critical are we of other moms? How critical are we of other kids? You know, when and how do we have these conversations? Because sometimes, again, this is that idea of being intentional. I mean, we do have conversations, especially with high schoolers, about behaviors of other kids that aren't behaviors, values of our home. But we don't have to talk about them that we don't like them. We make choices sometimes if we hang out, and sometimes there's choices that we make as parents because we're the only parents at Lake Oswego High School that make our daughter turn her phone in at 10 o'clock at night. The only ones. You know, it's not true, but you know, they're just those things. It doesn't make it bad that other kids text until 4 o'clock in the morning. That's what's going on in their own homes. So we really have to first approach and treat other moms with love and care and identify the characteristics in them that are different than us and not make that about us and not make it negative about them, but celebrate it. We have to have all of these differences to really grow and evolve. And our children, and this is the one thing I have seen so often because I have taught etiquette for so many years, and etiquette is related to behavior, that the behavior that is accepted in the home is different than the behavior that's expected outside. And so when a child is misbehaving at a restaurant, the parents are shocked and embarrassed and mortified and then get mad at the child. They don't know any different because this is how they eat at home. They're not old enough to be able to translate home to outside. And so we constantly are putting manners and etiquette and behavior as a really bad thing and not making it fun. It's okay to have high expectations in your home. It's okay to start and teach them. I tell my girls, home is your baseline. In fact, I worked with a group of juniors and seniors at the high school yesterday and said, home is your baseline. How you talk to people, how you practice this behavior. When you get nervous and you go for an interview, you're gonna revert to your baseline because your head's gonna be so confused because of the nerves. So how we and the expectations, and it can all be in love, it's always in love, is going to help them so that when they show up in a space, they have good behavior and people are going to affirm them for that. People really enjoy being around well-behaved kids. They do because they can connect with them. Now, our kids are not going to always behave. My kids didn't always behave, but that's okay. Again, there's that space for grace in there, but we always need to make sure that the expectations that we have for our kids in a loving way is fair to them. Next is living. You want to listen to your gut as a mom. And being proactive in the thought process of who you are and the values for your family is sit down as a family and talk about this. Think through this. What are the five values that your family wants to live by? What are those important things? And be willing to be different. You know, that's the things when we talk about women of history, women who inspire us, they are all willing to be different. And so it's okay to have this constant conversation. If you start talking to your kids about your values and your willingness to be different at a young age, that is gonna be the narrative in their head. And when they get into high school, think about how many times you have to teach your child to put their shoes on. How many times you have to teach your child to go to bed at night? How many times you have to ask your child to sit down at a dinner table? You can't tell your child once not to engage in substance and expect them to do that when it takes 500 times for you to ask them just to sit on their chair at dinner. So the values for what your family are long-term, that's the narrative and dialogue that needs to start at a young age. You don't have to, I mean, I've been telling my girls not to put their boobs on the internet since they were probably in the second or third grade. Randomly, just in grocery stores, like, you know not to put your boobs on the internet, right? Like, oh my gosh, Mom, like, I'm just saying. In the car, like, adjusting the rearview mirror, you know not to put your boobs on the internet, right? Mom, I'm like, you need to hear this from me. You need to hear this from me over and over and over again, and not when you just start developing boobs. You need to hear this as a value for our home from an early age. So as you talk to them about being different in the values of your home, this is a narrative, if you start it early, it's just gonna be part of their internal dialogue as they're in high school that it's okay to be different. My family's different. My family makes these choices because this is who we are. Lean into the hard. Have your kids see you be willing to do things that are hard. Tell them, we don't have to be perfect for our kids. Tell them, I'm nervous. I'm uncomfortable with this. This scares me a little bit. It's okay for them to see you being vulnerable and pushing past through that. Be present and engage. Put your phones away, turn the television off, because the interpersonal skills that you provide your kids are going to be what's going to carry them forever, and they need to see it starting with you. Your posture, we talked about that. A confident mom has really strong posture. Now it's hard when you like are have bags and carriers and kids. They aren't going to be there forever, but your posture, you know, the brain chemistry says that when you have a strong posture for 2 minutes, that your body starts to produce testosterone that tells your brain that you've got this. Our digital posture is this. In 2 minutes of this, your body's going to start producing cortisol, which tells you that you're stressed. So the best thing you can do as a mom is just be like, mommy needs 2 minutes to reset and get yourself in a really strong posture, say a prayer, and reconnect, because it's all brain chemistry, and that's really going to be what helps you. I was walking back to my car a couple weeks ago. I had Elle with me running some errands for an event I was putting on, and I was walking back to the car, and I saw her kind of looking at me in a way that she doesn't really look at me because I'm a mom and I annoy her most of the time. But I got in the car and she said, "You walk with confidence." And I said, "I do." And she said, "Hmm." That was it. But they notice these things. They notice these things, and that's important for them to see you walking with confidence, because they are connected to you. And if you're confident, they're going to be confident. See, look at them. Look at them, look at them, look at them, look at them. Get down on their level. There's a difference in teaching and telling. Teaching is saying what not to do. Telling is telling what not to do. Teaching is where we get down on their level and we look at them and we explain what's going on. Even today when I dropped Elle off, I like grabbed her face and I looked at it. And she's like, this is, you have to know that you're seen. Like, I see you. I care about you and what's going on in your life. Look at your kids and expect that they look at you too. There's gonna be times that they're embarrassed, that they're uncomfortable, and this is part of that resiliency. And with boys, it's different than girls. It's a little bit more challenging for them. But if you're looking at them, not staring them down or making them feel ashamed, but in love, they're going to respond to that. So the other thing is smile. Smile, smile at your kids. This resting face emoji over here, if you received that resting face emoji, you probably wouldn't think they're having a good day. The same is true when we greet people this way. Your kids' friends, smile at your kids' friends, no matter the age, because no matter as uncomfortable as it is to be around teenagers, they do care how we feel, and that loving feeling of being smiled at is important to them. Also, too, 2 minutes of smiling also triggers testosterone, so you're going to feel better. And talk to them. Spark conversations. Learn about their life. Kind of find out what's, you know, what's going on. And make them talk back to you. Not back to you like Maggie, but, you know, like tell you about their day. Don't just let it go at nothing. Lunch, recess. But this starts at a young age. Teach them how to respond to you, how to actually share the story of their day, and look at them, put your phone away, and listen when they talk to you. So the last is letting. In order for us to be confident, we really have to let go of that perfect picture, and the pressure and the fear. You're going to feel pressure. Our kids are gonna feel pressure. We're gonna be afraid. And if we're so afraid of being afraid, then we're never actually going to learn and grow. It's that fear and pushing past fear and doing what's hard that is actually how we evolve as humans. Let your children know that it's okay to make mistakes. This is one of the things I cannot stress enough that I see in my work all the time, that parents want their kids to come to my class. They want them to work with me until their kids make a mistake, and then they don't want us to lean into that at all. And this is a trend in our society, and this starts at a young age. It's that willingness. If your child is throwing a fit, don't get embarrassed and make this about you. You know, get in there with them and figure out what's going on. Obviously, they've made a mistake, but we don't want to shame our kids into things. And so letting them know at an early age that it's okay to make mistakes and then celebrate when they have recovered from those mistakes is going to help them long term. And let God fill you up and help you to find your purpose. I'll just kind of close with a story that we've kind of been talking about in our family a lot lately, and that's about buckets. My daughter came home this summer. It was like midnight. I was exhausted. I had picked her up, and she was kind of off, and so we sat on our, we have a blue sofa in our house. We call it Blue Sofa Conversations. My husband came up with it, so that's where we sit when we talk about stuff as a family. And she was being kind of rude, and, you know, I was, when she's rude, I know that she's upset, and I'm the one that she can take things out on, because her, there's so much pressure on her, and I've identified that over time. And I said, you know, here's the deal. We live life like we have a bucket. And we put so much into our bucket. You know, you're putting your friends into your bucket, you're putting your boyfriend into your bucket, you're putting soccer into your bucket, you're putting math and school. And those things evaporate. Those things we work so hard to keep filling our bucket. And the only thing in your life that isn't going to evaporate for you is your faith. It's your belief and the grace and the peace that comes from that. And we are living in a society that is bombarding us with bucket opportunities, and they just go away. They feel good in the moment. And so not only as moms, but as our kids, really thinking about, as our family and our values starting at a young age, what, because we're putting stuff in our kids' buckets at this point. And I'll tell you, my best parenting years, I was an amazing mom, like age 2 to 6. I was really good. Like, we had the best parties. We celebrated every holiday. We went to every pumpkin patch, sat on Santa's lap. I had Christmas cards out. They don't remember any of it. None of it. I took my daughter to New York. We have a tradition that we go to New York when they're 10. We traveled around the East Coast. I said to Elle the other night, I said, remember when we were in Greenwich? Because we were watching a show. And she goes, I don't. We really should have done that trip later, Mom. And I was like, we should have. But that's the thing to remember. Right now, the focus, it doesn't have to be on the stuff that you're filling in your bucket. It should be on your values. Because that is what your kids are going to remember. They're going to remember how they felt in your home. They are going to remember some of those family traditions. But the over the top that our society tells us to put in our bucket, our kids don't care about it. They don't connect to it. And unless they have a photo of it, that's the only thing that really helps them to remember. And it's really, like, save yourselves for 12. Like, really, like, start, go all out at 12. I'm exhausted at 12, and so we just, it's not as great as I was when they were 6. But, you know, that would be what I would say is, as you're identifying your values and your confidence in who you are, really think about what you're putting in your bucket, what you're putting in your kids' bucket, and what really matters and what's going to be sustainable for them. Because that confident mom, when we talk about what she looks like, it's peace. It's peace that's what's giving her that confidence, and that's what she's putting in her bucket. So thank you so much for having me. This was wonderful.
Thank you. Hey, just stay here. I'm just going to pray for you and pray for our time, okay? Lord, I just want to thank you so much for this friend of mine and for the time that she spent to come and share with us. And I just thank you especially for the truth that you just shared, Lord. Really, truly, we need peace. And out of that flows all of these other things. And so I pray for Mindy and her sweet girls and her family. And I pray for us as we just process a lot of what she's shared around our circles. Would you just reveal yourself to us, Lord? We love you. Help us to tap into you, which is the greatest source of bravery and confidence and authenticity. We love you. Amen.